Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, September 17th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart.
We are in St. Louis with a little bit of a rainy day, a little bit on the cool side, but a very pretty day, and we are blessed and honored that each of you who chooses to join us for this show every day does that. We just so appreciate the opportunity to share these principles, to deepen our understanding, and to support you in deepening your understanding of how this energy system called life works. You know, it's interesting, if you go back into the Aramaic language, which is the root of the work that we're doing, it's first century Aramaic thinking, quite different from what this culture would program us with. And it takes some time to hang around and really build the brain cells for thinking in a way different than the way the culture teaches us. But in that first century Aramaic culture, people understood responsibility for what was going on in their lives. And if they didn't understand, then they had teachers who were willing to support them in having that understanding. I was speaking to someone this morning about an issue. This young man had an issue of where hostility kept surfacing in his life. And when we kind of narrowed it down, it was all about not being honored. That, you know, as a small child, his brothers and sisters were always better at things than he was. He was always had challenges with things, and so came to the point where he literally set his whole life up so that he would not be honored virtually by anyone. And the topic or the idea came up, well, then you mean that's all my fault? And there's a deeper level of understanding of the principles here of responsibility than it's my fault. We're offering a set of tools that are absolutely no fault, but there is responsibility. So what I explained with this young man is, well, notice that you have all this pain and turmoil around not being honored, and so there's a lot of energy in you. I mean, all somebody has to do is offer the, pardon the double use of the word, but the slightest slight, and you're going berserk off the deep end. So notice you have a lot of energy around not being honored. And I pointed out the work of Marcel Vogel, who was a 23-year senior scientist from IBM. And Marcel had the instrumentation in the laboratory, literally with which to take the pictures of the high-energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought. So when I hold, let's say in this case, a lot of energy about not being honored, then I literally set up a resonating energetic field. And that resonating energetic field will cause people to move toward me who, in the last analysis, will always do their best to dishonor me. And how do I play into that? What's my part in it? Well, as Marcel could measure, there were these high-energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought. And so if I hold a lot of fear, a lot of anger, a lot of rage, a lot of guilt about not being good enough and not being honored, then I'm continuously sending out an energetic wave that says, in essence, and I like to call it the psychic megaphone or the creative wave, I send out a message to all the world, and it goes out silently, and everybody in the area can hear the message. But I send out this message that says, hey, world, is there anybody out there who knows exactly how to dishonor me the way I hate being dishonored the most? And then, of course, guess who's coming to dinner? The person who knows exactly how to play that out with you is the person who's going to show up, and the behavior they're going to do is that of dishonoring. Now, does that mean they're to blame? No, they're responsible for the fact that they do something to another that dishonors them. Well, then, the person who holds that energy wave, and certainly they're to blame. No, we're not to even one instant that they're to blame. However, they are setting up the field that draws the person in to dishonor them. So the person who would do the dishonoring is totally and completely responsible for the way they behave and what they do. The person who draws in that dishonor is totally and completely responsible for the fact that here's this person doing it in my face again. And once I start to deal with this responsibly, then I see that, the person who dishonors me shows me the part of my mind where I hold all of this pain. And now that I can see the part of me that holds all of this pain, I have the opportunity to work through it. You know, our definition in this work of a human life is hold a newborn child. And when you hold a newborn, you know exactly what human life is. Think about holding that newborn, that awesome active presence of love. But when we set something else in our minds, we change the whole meaning and purpose of life. The truth is that life is about aliveness, joy, and creativity. If we never put anything unlike love within our human energy field, then there would be nothing less than love to come up in us, and there would be nothing in us to draw somebody in to play out the hostilities, the fears, the griefs, the losses, and the being dishonored. However, once I put that energy into me, I create movement toward me of those who carry that same field. And it operates through a law called the law of resonance. Very important law to understand if you're going to really, truly heal yourself. The law of resonance, simply stated, says this. When two energy fields are in tune or in harmony with each other, there's an exchange of information between them. The stronger the two fields sets up an energy wave that is absorbed by the weaker, and the weaker is strengthened as a result. Now, there's a reciprocal arrangement there, but the main thing we want to focus on is how that secondary field starts to move in response to that higher wave coming from the first tuning fork. Now, let's imagine we've got two pianos sitting in a room, and I go over to one piano, and I just pound on the middle C key. If I'm looking at the same instant that I pound on that middle C key, I watch inside of the second piano, I'm going to see motion inside of that second piano. And the only strings that are going to be moving will be the strings that are associated with middle C. It's called resonance, law of energy exchange. Now, inanimate objects move in response to energetic fields. Animate objects, like humans, don't just move, but they move toward what resonates them. So if I hold that I'm dishonored, everybody in town that knows how to dishonor me is going to have an attraction or a resonance toward me. So in live systems where there's resonance, there is not just movement, as with the piano or the middle C, but there is movement toward. I will draw somebody to me to play this out. And, of course, if I stay in denial, if I keep pretending that it's all about everybody else, then in my denial, I'm going to dissociate from the cause of my pain. I'm going to hide my pain from me. And I'm going to say, look at all those people and look what they're doing to me. And it's all they're doing, never recognizing that I'm the one who's creating the movement toward me by what I hold within me. And the way to tell whether or not what you're experiencing or what you're feeling is yours or not, and therefore creating motion toward you, is, are you feeling it? If I'm feeling rage, if I'm feeling sadness, my culture teaches me to blame somebody else. They made me mad. They made me sad. Or they made me glad. It's all the same. That's denial, and I dissociate from the part of me that creates that response in me. When I deny and dissociate from the part that creates a response in me, then I stuff down, I press down, I press down, I press down that response, and by pressing down that response, I create a higher energy wave that radiates out and causes motion toward me, and more people show up to play that out with me. If I grow into adulthood, if I actually move out of the child's mind of everybody else is to blame, and I move into responsibility, then I can stop and go, my goodness, I've been through this dishonored thing 87 different times with 42 different people. I'm the only one that was here every time. Maybe this dishonored thing has a gift for me. Maybe there's a part of me that I could remove, and the motion toward me of people who dishonor me would stop. And that's precisely what happens. Again, am I to blame for the fact that they dishonor me? No, but I'm responsible for the field that draws them there. And as I go in and forgive, and the word forgive has nothing to do with I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. The word forgive is the tool with that which I go inside of me and remove all the pain, the trauma, the turmoil, whatever is going on in me, in this case, about being dishonored, about dishonoring myself. And as I heal those dynamics, wherever that energy stored in my body or my mind, my emotions, and my body are going to heal. And I'm going to stop drawing those people to me. And if those people are still in my life, then they are going to respond differently because I'm not setting up the field that resonates motion toward me out of that being dishonored. And so in a nutshell, that's kind of the direction that we go with this work and what we're looking to support. Everyone in the world understanding is this law of resonance, this movement toward, and that I'm always responsible for the movement toward me. I'm not to blame. It's not my fault. I'm not guilty. I'm not bad. I'm not wrong. That's what the world says. Oh, you mean you're telling me I'm to blame, I'm guilty, I'm at fault? No. There's none of that in the word responsibility. All that responsibility is a tool that will give you access to the hidden part of your mind that creates your pain and your disorders. And as you recapture those parts of your mind and bring them forward, as the forgiveness or reality management worksheet shows how to do, then healing occurs. If you haven't accessed that worksheet, if you haven't started working with it yet, or if it's been a while and you need an update, the latest worksheet is on the website. The website is www.whyagain.org. And if you look in the center of the page, you'll see a bullseye. And that bullseye keys right into a whole series of links that starts the explanation of how to engage in the process of forgiveness. It's an awesome, awesome tool. And I personally feel so blessed that I've gotten to understand it, to decode it, and to be one of a team of people who's bringing it to the world. And we appreciate the fact that your ears are listening, and hopefully you're speaking to others about this tool. As you teach it, you learn it on deeper and deeper levels, and we're here to share it with literally every mind, heart, and being on the planet. If you happen to be in the Chicago area, we are going to start on Sunday at Unity in Woodstock with their Sunday service and a free workshop Sunday afternoon. Why is this happening to me again? And then Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, we'll be doing a series of free workshops from 7 to 9:30. And then Saturday, there is one workshop that we do charge a fee for. It's called Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing. And so Saturday from 8 in the morning until about 6, we'll do that Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop. The registration is limited for that, so if you're interested in joining us for that in Woodstock, Illinois, we'd be delighted to have you there. We're going to take a few days off when we finish that and do some writing and visit with some friends up in northern Michigan. I think we're going to get a visit from my brother up in Canada. And then we'll be heading to Grand Rapids, Michigan. We'll be keynoting at the SUN, Spiritual Unity of Nations Conference, and then doing a week of workshops at Unity in Grand Rapids. Then we'll be heading to Lansing, doing a week there. And once we complete the Lansing, we've got a few days off, and then the 31st of October, last day of October, we'll be starting a 9-day codependence to interdependence intensive. So if you're ready to take your work to the next level, come and join us for any or all of those workshops. The codependence to interdependence is a 9-day residential intensive. It includes all the food, awesome vegetarian food. Workshops, workshop materials, everything will be totally included. Fall colors, it should be awesome in South Central Michigan that week of October 31st. The colors, it should be a perfect time to be there. And we've got this beautiful big, it's almost like an antebellum house that we've got accommodations in, a huge kitchen, a big classroom, sits on a lake, has these huge pillars in front, just a beautiful setting for this 9-day codependence to interdependence intensive October 31st. And then we'll head from there to Bristol, Tennessee. If you're around the Bristol area, join us for that series. The flyers, I don't know that the flyers are on the website for that yet, but we'll be doing that. And then we head to Wilmington, North Carolina. We're doing a full week of workshops there. Then we'll be over in the panhandle of Florida and down into Tampa, St. Pete, and on down into South Florida. So we've got lots scheduled. Come and join us. We'd be delighted to have you share the space with us. And, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
No, Dr. Tim is not with us, but Amber is with us, and she was going to give us an update of their support group last night. She's actually got some things going on, so she's not sure how long she can stay on the show. So I'm going to go ahead and turn her on. Hey, welcome to the show, girl.
Hi.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome. How'd the support group go?
Oh, it's going good. It was pretty funny last night. For about the first hour or so, we started at 6. We were having agreement issues on times and when to watch the movie and when to do worksheets. And every time we decided to say, okay, this works, someone always had something else to add. So it was pretty funny getting it started. But we watched Personal Power and Commitment the first 20 minutes or so. And so it looks like it's going to be a great group.
Well, you know, it's interesting that when people are starting to move into community, you know, everybody thinks, well, when community forms, everything's going to be wonderful and fun and happy. And that's not necessarily true, because every resistance and everything in each participant in that community effort is going to have those things surface in them. So really forming community on a new level means that everybody gets to look at their healing process on a new level. And oftentimes it's chaos before community starts, because what would inhibit community in each individual has for there to be true community has to come to the surface for healing. So that's cool. That sounds like it's right on track.
Yeah, definitely.
So is there any big insights for you? Anything to share?
What was that?
Were there any big insights for you last night, or anything in particular to share that you gained from that?
Yeah, there was a big aha moment when I did a worksheet, because we all did worksheets together, but nothing really major happened. But for me, I noticed part of the reasons I have issues with going at my own pace with working is because when I was younger, my mother would always scold me about being selfish or lazy. And so whenever I'm not working like her, I feel like I'm being selfish or lazy. And so that was a big insight for me.
That'll be some good stuff to let go of.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Definitely cool. Don't want to be carrying that around anymore.
And, you know, on the other side, you might invite Mom to do some more sheets around those same issues. You know, keep her posted on what you're working on, and that might inspire Mom
to do some worksheets around those issues.
And it'll reinforce your process and bring her into a higher state of healing as well. So, you know, when we can inspire the people around us who have the issues to work through that we have, the tendency is for everybody to move forward in awesome ways. So you might just consider that if that's appropriate.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. And I think it'd be good for her as well. And so I'll definitely talk to her about that.
Fabulous. Well, anything else to share with us?
No, I think that's good for now. I got to go get my groceries and everything. So thank you. And I will talk to you guys later.
Okay, awesome. And maybe if anybody else who was at the support group last night wants to call in and give a perspective, that would be fabulous. Oh, geez. So do we have any other hands up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it's really quiet in the chat room. It's just Angela from Alaska and Michelle. And they're saying that the weather is shifting and they hope that we've got boots with us. that the fall leaves might already be gone. So anyway, and happy anniversary, Michelle.
I didn't quite catch that. The fall leaves will be gone?
Probably. She said that it's turned winter practically overnight.
Really? Well, that's a bummer.
So we'll just see what happens.
Because my understanding was that was about peak season toward the end of October. That was one of the reasons for choosing those days. Well, that's too bad. Well, it's interesting. It was certainly pretty amazing when we left Heartland at how like 2 days before we left, the weather just almost instantly shifted. And it was pretty amazing. Went from pretty warm to chilly just overnight. So it is an interesting weather pattern that we're getting all over the country, and we certainly had an unusual winter and summer in Heartland. And so our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Maybe Magda is there and might share her perspective on the support group last night. I think Magda was planning to be there, or Jim perhaps. Either one of them might share a little bit, or Chuck, or I don't know if Julie, Patrick were there, but
one hand
we'd
just went
to hear
up.
From you guys. Oh, cool.
A hand just went. So 417-255 on the air.
Hi, this is Magda.
Young lady, welcome.
Hi, thank you. We just had a huge storm move through here, so lots and lots of rain, and it's chilly. And our leaves have not started turning yet, so you might have to come back here to see some color. I know that. So last night I thought that the meeting was really very, very good. We had some nice discussion about timing and what different people had imagined as being the right amount of time to use for our meeting every week, reasons why people wanted certain things, and then we actually voted and decided, came to, you know, some decisions that seemed to be helpful and agreeable for everyone. So I thought that was a really good process to start with. And for me, that's how it went for me. And I think it'll be a great group when we get rolling. One of the things we decided is that we are going to start right on time. And that if people wish to socialize, they can come 15 minutes early to do that. So we'll see how that works out. And we're going to use a timer. Amber has a timer there, and we're definitely going to use a timer so that we stay on task. I'm looking forward to it. Are you there, Michael? You might be on mute. Hello?
Yes, I was mute. I was mute. I was there for a moment. My apology.
Okay.
But, I'm looking forward to how the whole support group unfolds and just what kind of results happen, especially in the local community. It would be nice to see more local people getting involved in the work. And, you know, with the number of folks who showed up at the Y workshop we did earlier this summer,
yeah.
I'm thinking that, you know, some of those folks, if they get enough invitations and they know that it's happening on an ongoing and regular basis, they just might become part of the process, which would be fabulous.
I'm glad you brought that up, Michael. That was part of our discussion as well, was how about other people who are not, who haven't been through intensives at Heartland or aren't staying there at Heartland as on support staff. Is it okay to invite them? And so we had basically decided that with appropriate screening, I guess we might say, that yes, we would like to invite other people. And we did talk about the folks who had come to the YGEN presentation because there were several people who were very, very interested in the material and using the worksheet in some cases and not using the worksheet in other cases. We're going to work on that. We definitely concluded that we don't want to make an open invitation to the community, like on a bulletin board or anything like that. It would have to be by invitation from one of the current members of the group. How's that sound?
Sounds right on top to me. I was. I'm in a place where it's a little noisy, so I've been hitting my mute button each time you talk. And I think that sounds perfect. And we're
kind
of living in the goal is every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So,
yeah.
And I think, you know, that I don't remember exactly, but that Y workshop we did earlier this summer, you know, we had, probably 25 local people who came and participated. I think they'd all be, you know, they all seem to be to leave with another level of understanding and, you know, a willingness.
Right.
So the ongoing support, I think, would be fabulous.
Right. Good. I want to say something, switching from this topic to the Laws of Living intensive that you just completed, and I was there in the 16-day intensive. And just a remark to anyone who's listening now or in the future, if they get this in the archives, that whenever you have the opportunity to come to the 16-day Laws of Living intensive, it is just a marvelous, life-changing experience. This is the third time that I have taken it, and I'm really starting to get it because I'm a smart person, and this is new material, so it isn't because, you know, I have problems apprehending new information, but making it my own, making it really deeply my own, that takes time for all of us. And so this time I have dedicated myself to actually reviewing every part of the class page by page. It'll take about 8 weeks to get through that. And then I'm going to start again and reread the essays as well. And I'm just going to keep going through and going through little by little, one page until it is completely mine. So anyway, I'm just applauding that class. It was fantastic, as well as the class earlier in the summer that I was lucky enough to be part of, and that was a combination of communication and moving from codependency to interdependency. That was phenomenal, having the opportunity to really go deeply into the responsible communication right there in class with coaching. It was just a fabulous experience. So I hope you offer that one again, Michael. That was great. So that's my input today. Yes?
I think the codependent communication practice is going to become a standard at Heartland. Now, we're doing the codependent standalone 9-day at the end of October in Michigan, but I think at Heartland we'll probably do that as a 16-day from now on. And of course, this is a question you've been really asking me, pushing me, goading me on for a long time, is let's get deeper into this. And so I thank you for that nudge that you've been giving me to do that and to take it forward. But it is powerful when you integrate that responsibility communication. And, of course, the big thing that's necessary to integrate responsibility communication is the willingness to be responsible, which, you know, most people just want to communicate how somebody else needs to change this, that, or the next thing, because this, that, or the next thing are the real problem in my life. I'm not the problem. I have nothing to do with it. I'm perfect. I have no problems whatsoever. It's all about you. And so it is a challenge to do that. And when it comes to laws of living, well, the whole body of work, but laws of living in particular, as you say, you've done it 3 times. I've been teaching it. I sourced, at least in part, you know, it was originally EMI, emotional maturity instruction, developed by Dan McDougald in the prison. And then when Dan and I met, we integrated our work together, and the course's name was changed to Laws of Living. And I had previously done things under the title of Lessons in Living. In fact, there's a school program that still goes on in South Florida that we initiated back when my kids were 4 and 5, called Lessons in Living at Unity of Del Rey. We started that one way back when they were just 9. And the challenge, the reason why, and as I say, I sourced it in part and have been teaching it for better than a quarter of a century, and I still learn from it, as you saw in the class. And what I really see is that the foundation of the output of each of our minds comes out of our genetic history and out of our past. And there's just such an incalculable amount of pain, trauma, turmoil, and insanity. I mean real, honest-to-God insanity, which I define as a human form without the active presence of love. There is that within each of us. If the laws of living were just a matter of learning some new material, it would be a zip, no problem. But the unlearning, the insane ideas that block the understanding of the energetic patterns of how the universe works, that's where the real core of the work is in order to be able to get to comprehend what those words even mean. So it is a pretty exciting and interesting process, isn't it?
You are so, so right. It's the undoing. It's like when I learned how to play tennis, I had gotten out there finally with a tennis teacher, a coach, after I had been puttering around with the tennis racket myself, you know, hitting the ball with other people. I had so much to unlearn before I could learn the proper techniques.
Yeah.
So, Michael, there's something else that while you were talking about all of that just a little while ago, I really want to say this on the air too. So people who've never been in an intensive with you, part of the reason it is so intense is because of your skill as an observer, as a coach, I don't even know what words to call you. You have such a handle on your intuition and your ability to see what's going on with a person that it can. I have been able to go so much deeper because of your prompting, your questions, your suggestions. I think there was a good example of that in this last intensive when I was asking for some feedback from you about a couple of things I wanted to use for verbal links. And I had my mind made up about this is, he's either going to say, yeah, those are good or not. And you went somewhere else with it, and I started to rebel internally about, wait a minute, I want to do it my way and all of that stuff. And then I finally realized, wait a minute, I've had enough experience with Michael Rice to know that if he's doing that, there's a reason for it. And so I surrendered to the direction you were going in, and wow, me so deep into some very old material with one of my parents, and I was able to clear so much. So I just want to let people who are listening understand, if they can, that part of what happens in an intensive is the material that you teach. Part of it is the place itself and all of the healing energy that has been brought there. Part of it is the group coming together with willingness and love that supports the healing. And a huge part of it is what you do, Michael. You have some kind of magic there. So that, I just wanted to add that.
Well, thank you for your acknowledgement, and there's a great line in the Course in Miracles that you remind me of, and what it says is that, you know, you have to go to this elemental force in you, this higher power in you, for answers, but be careful you don't make your mind up before you go. And the problem that most people have is, well, I already know what the problem is, and the problem is da-da-da-da, and I already know what the solution is, and the solution is da-da-da-da. And so just shut up and don't tell me anything different than what I want to know. And the truth right. is, for everybody, if we knew what the problem would be solved. The reason why our problems have not been solved is we don't know what they are. And when we make up our mind that this is where it needs to go, well, all I have to do is resolve the way my spouse does this, and then I'll be okay. That will produce no healing whatsoever. And when we see it on the show, too. People will call in, or they won't call in. They'll be in the chat room, and they'll offer, you know, they'll offer up a question that they've already got an answer for. And then when my answer doesn't agree, they're like, well, what's wrong with you? And you know, that's the resistor. And in Aramaic, you know, the term Satan meant the resistor, one who misleads. And when we are misled by our own minds into this dissociated game of it's all somebody else's fault, then, you know, we get lost in our own insanity. And so the whole idea of the work, the whole idea of each intensive is to support people getting to a new level of sanity, and it won't always agree with what your mind has to say, as you've discovered, as mm-hmm. I've discovered. You can see in, over the last couple of years, some of the new steps that have come into the worksheet, and they weren't things that I was thinking were needed, but when I did work in certain areas myself, it's like, oh, okay, I got the answer. Oh, now I see that. Why didn't I see that before? Oh, it's because this piece wasn't in the worksheet. Okay, well, let's put it there. And so, you know, to let go of the belief that I already know how the problem can be solved is a really mm-hmm. tough thing.
That's a biggie. And you speak of the, yes. you know, putting new things in the worksheet, and I remember how I rebelled against those new pieces. It's like, oh, come on, there's enough in this worksheet already. And I wouldn't actually use the new worksheet for, I don't know, it was at least 3 or 4 or 5 months, and I finally decided, well, let's try it out. And I see the reason for the elements that you've added to it. They're very, very positive. Yeah, but letting go of my way, our way, it's always a challenge. And can be done. It can be done.
You know, it's interesting. The two most prolific songs, or the two most popular songs in the culture, the most sold piece of music in all of history is Frank Sinatra singing My Way. Interesting. The most
yeah.
sold piece of music, you know, the most people in the world that have ever gone out and plunked their money down to buy something is I Did It My Way. And Yeah. And then the most played piece of music in the world correlates, ties right in with that, and that is the Righteous Brothers. You've Lost That Love and Feeling.
Oh, yeah.
And sadly, most people, when they do it their way, lose that love and feeling. They lose the capacity to experience themselves in the face of their stress and their strife as the active presence of love. They give up their human lives because they're going to do it their way. And they wonder why in this circumstance or that. They blame it on, oh, it's got to do with this in my environment. It's because of that in my environment. It doesn't have to do with anything in our environment. It's got to do with what we carry inside of us. And the pretense that if we could just control the external environment, then it would be my way and I'd have that love and feeling is the biggest lie that's ever been told. Because if you get it all your way, because for most people, their identification is with the non-being self, and every solution that the non-being self offers is just another thorn in their side. But the mind presents it as, ah, this is where the solution is. So it's interesting to see how all that correlates.
It is. It is. Sometimes I listen to some of the popular radio stations that play some of the oldies or some of the new things. It's amazing how programmed we are with the lyrics from these songs. It's just, I wish I could laugh about it, but it is sad because it has programmed so many, many, many millions of people over time. So I think you might have another caller. I sure hope so. I think I'll just mute and say have a wonderful, wonderful day to you guys.
Okay, we appreciate you. And on the music thing, you know, it's really crazy, but a way to drive a message into the cell on a deeper level is when it's accompanied with music. And people always remember words much, much faster if there's music accompanying it. So a really good exercise that goes along with the work that each person can do is if you are listening to pop music, which has so many destructive and insane messages in it, you only hurt the one you love. You just start looking at these lyric lines. And so a good practice to sharpen up your skills at changing your own mind can be, as you're listening to that music, to change the lyrics as you're hearing them. So instead of going along with, you only hurt the one you love, you instantly change that thought to, you only heal the one you love, or you always heal the one you love. And every piece of music, if you're in that pop culture, I think it's really important to be able to, on the spot, review and in an instant put into your mind what you wish to have put into your mind rather than some of the garbage in the culture.
Right. You've mentioned really that before. Important. I think I'll accept that challenge and play with it. That's good. Yep. Thank you.
Cool. All right. We appreciate it. And bless.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So our call-in number is 646-200-4169. We're down to about 14 minutes or so. We're just delighted that you're with us. And Jeannie, do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of? Or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
Michelle just asked a question, says, what you're saying about music driving the message home triggers her thoughts about a Michael Beckwith song, so many of the lyrics about love and breathing, et cetera, and that was really helpful. And so while she is transmuting the image of herself being love, so that it resonated that it's a good thing that you definitely have to. Yes, she just put on their Adventures in Paradise, which was a video that she played for us at one of the workshops.
Right. Well, his Michael's wife, Byers, what's her first name? Her name's not coming to me. But anyway, she's done just some awesome music, and you can get her her music online, I suspect, through CSL in, what's the town in California? Starts with a C. I can see it in my mind. It's just not coming forward. But anyway, Michael Beckwith, and put in the name Byers. That's his wife's last name. And you'll find some awesome music that you can just easily allow most of her music. There are one or two lyrics that still have a few sticklers in them, but most of her lyrics, you can just sit and breathe with those and just take them in, and they'll uplift your mind and open the space for healing. You get some awesome stuff. Is it Becky Byers? No. No. Anyway.
Cool.
So anyone else with a thought in the chat room, or anybody with a hand up? Is Dr. Tim arrived as yet?
Dr. Tim is not with us, but we do have another 417 hand up.
Okay, let's say hello.
You're on the air.
Farmer Tim here.
Hey there, Farmer Tim. How do you be, sir? Welcome home.
I'm doing great. We had our first meeting last night, as you know, the Mind Shifters, and it was my first Mind Shifters support group meeting, and it was interesting. We had an exchange of ideas and suggestions that we consensed on, and I'm looking forward to it going forward. I done study groups in the past myself when I lived in Montclair of actually people in the same building, and what we did was choose a book and read a few chapters and get together for a couple of hours on Sunday to discuss it. So I'm kind of used to that format, so this is different for me. My thought was that discussion in terms of watching a video for half an hour and then doing a worksheet certainly has benefit, and we're all there to support each other. If somebody gets in their stuff, you know, if emotion comes up and somebody asks for and needs support. And I'm just wondering, Michael, if in your experience, some of these Mind Shifter support groups actually become, have a portion of them that is a study group. And what is your impact around that, or your input around that, rather? Pardon me.
Well, my most basic thought about this work is never study this work. Learn forgiveness. Any body of work that you study, you'll fill your head with all kinds of information, but filling the head with information, even with good information, is not healing, but rather stepping in and doing the work together. Yes, looking at the material, starting to understand the principles, and then doing the work. That's where, you know, the emphasis on the group doing a worksheet together supports people in creating, you know, such miraculous and amazing results, which we hear about all the time. And for anybody who doesn't have a support group in your area, you know, if you're out in Timbuktu and there's not another person within 1,000 miles that even knows what a worksheet is, you can go to the website. There's an area for Mind Shifters. And Jeannie has just put a huge amount of information. And she's accumulated information from other people that she's written about the pitfalls and the things to watch for and how to bring a support group forward in a way that really opens that healing space. So we invite anybody, you know, if you start the support group on your own, if you're in Timbuktu and there's nobody close to you, start on your own, introduce one person at a time to the worksheet and walk them through it and start building support for your process and the process of those around you. It's an amazing, amazing gift to give people.
Okay, Michael, as a follow-up question to that, would it be your suggestion then that we would be better served just doing worksheets as opposed to watching one of the videos for a half hour?
No. No, actually, most support groups, the most reported successful format that we found for the support group is actually most support groups watch a one hour, half of a video of any one of them. Like Dr. Tim has got a support group that's been going on for almost 10 years. In 10 years, I think they've had 2 snowstorms where they couldn't meet, but otherwise he's met every week for 10 years. And they have cycled through all 15 videos several times. And he says that the people who have been there for 10 years and continue to work with the tools and himself, that each time it comes around, they build a new set of brain cells, opens a new space for healing, and then they step into and invite somebody from the group to do a worksheet, you know, and or oftentimes you go back to the archives, you'll hear Dr. Tim talking about the worksheet when somebody else wasn't ready to do one. As a facilitator, he'd open the space and he'd do a worksheet and invite others in the group to either do the same worksheet. You know, so if somebody's got an issue with, you know, anger around such and such, okay, everybody in the group does a worksheet on anger. Or everybody does a worksheet on whatever they're ready to work on. And the combination of those two things, building the brain cells, which is what watching the video is about, and then removing what doesn't belong, it's kind of their parallel paths, is what we've gotten the most consistent feedback is the most effective way to do a support group.
Okay. So typically are these support group meetings an hour and a half or 2 hours, or if they watch
usually
the video for an hour?
Usually 2 or 2.5 hours is the usual format.
Oh, okay.
Well, I forget. Do you remember with Dr. Tim?
I'm sorry?
Do you remember with Dr. Tim's, I was just asking you if you remember the length of Dr. Tim's workshop or support group. I think it's 2 hours.
Wow. Yeah, they had actually set it up at one time where, because a lot of the people have been repeats, and so at one point they set up that from, say, 6 to 7, they were going to show the video. And then from 7 to, like, 8:30, they would be processing. And I don't know if he's still doing it that way or not, but he did it that way. Some people would come and watch the video, and then some people came just for the worksheet portion of it. But I'm not sure that he continued doing it that way. There was one support group that started during the day, and they would use the first hour listening to the radio show, and then they would spend the second hour doing worksheets. And then there's another one that they would spend the first hour listening to. They each had their own book, which, of course, the book's out of print right now, but they each had their own book, and then they would play the book on CD, which is a little bit different, but it was close enough. And they would follow along in their book, and so they actually listened to the book being read to them for an hour and then stopped and did an hour of worksheets.
And maybe Michelle's there. Michelle's been engaged in, I think, maybe a couple of support groups in Michigan, so maybe she'd have some input.
She just put in there that they generally go from 7 to 9:30, 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours, yeah.
Okay, so
that seems to be the format.
That would be my personal preference, and, of course, I, as most of us did, we deferred to the consensus. But the consensus was that we should meet for anywhere from an hour and 15 minutes, or an hour and a half. And my take on that, actually, I woke up at 2:30 this morning, and the first thing in my mind was the benefit for me in a group is the energy of the group, and watching a video for a half an hour, and then each of us doing our own individual worksheets without any Amber was the only one that shared. My thought was I could do that at home if I were committed. I didn't feel the energy, you know, the group energy, and the amount of time I would like to have discussion. I'm just putting this out.
I did a support group for about a year and a half before I went on the road with Michael, and I think that if you do one for less than an hour and a half to 2 hours, that you're cheating yourself. I don't think an hour is enough, and I think that you should do, somebody should volunteer to do one out loud, and that gets the group into it, because, yes, you can do your own worksheet at home without anybody else, but it's kind of like during an intensive, when something pops for one person, it resonates something in someone else. And so if nobody in the group volunteers to do a worksheet out loud, as facilitator, I would do one out loud. So whoever's being the facilitator for the week needs to be prepared to do one out loud.
Yeah, Jeannie, thank you for that. That resonates very positively for me and would support my goal of attending Mind Shifter group. And I want to be a team player, but I just felt that an hour and a half, just, I agree with you, just isn't enough time to get into the process. And we're only talking about 2 hours a week. You know, it's not a lot of time. Anyway, thanks for that feedback. And for those in the group that aren't on the radio show today, then we can share that next Tuesday night. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the members could also go to the website, like Michael said, and look at some of the examples of letters from different support groups and just kind of guidelines of, you know, based on experience, what has come across as working best. It doesn't mean that that's, you know, the rules and you can't do something different. But just based on the past and based on the groups that have survived. You know, there's a lot of groups that start and they go for 2 or 3 weeks and they dwindle down, and then whoever the facilitator is says, oh, well, there's only 1 or 2 people showing up, so I'm quitting. And, you know, Dr. Chen started out and he said there were a lot of times that, you know, there wasn't but just 2 or 3 people, and that there were a couple times that he was the only person. And he still sat there and did it and kept that same energy going, and now he's running, I don't know, 15, 20 people. So it's, you know, being persistent and consistent. Consistent? Is that what I'm trying to say? Anyway, so that people can count on it.
Yeah, we talked to Doug and Diane from Portland, and, you know, we were just out there for the first time this past year. And their support group's running about 20 people every week. And, again, I would suggest that someone facilitate and that facilitator invite someone to do a worksheet live, have the whiteboard, and walk through the process. That's where the ability to instruct comes from. That's where the ability to understand how the mind needs to be changed will tend to grow. So that would be my input. My input would be at least 2 hours and preferably 2.5. And, you know, if people are going to get together to really do some process work, I mean, if you open any kind of deep processing, there's no way that it's not in an hour. It just doesn't, you can hardly get started in an hour. So that would be my input.
I agree. And, again, thank you both for that feedback. I think it's very valuable.
You're welcome. We are getting down close to the end of it, but I did want to put out there for the listeners that is Agape Church in Culver City, California, and it's Ricky Byers is his last name.
Ricky, that's it. I knew it was in there somewhere. Yeah, she's got some awesome music. Ricky Byers Beckwith and Michael Beckwith. If you get out to Culver City, out to L.A., go visit their church. Get there early or you'll be sitting in a tent out in the parking lot. But he's doing some awesome stuff out there, and so is his wife, Becky. Or,
Ricky.
Yeah. All right, well, thank you all for joining us. Check the website for our workshops, October 31st, codependence to interdependence, residential. It sounds like enough winter is hitting Michigan. Maybe we won't have the fall colors. I don't know. But that means that we'll have naked cities and beautiful open vistas. We're on a lake. It should be an awesomely beautiful spot. And we'll look forward to sharing with you, whether it's in Woodstock or in Lansing, Grand Rapids, Wilmington, Bristol, and or any of the cities we'll be in Florida as the winter unfolds. So we hope you're a blessing. Appreciate you being with us. Bring the stranger to the show tomorrow, and the most awesome gift you can give the world is to have the best year yet of your eternal life. We join you in doing that. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.